Strand. Thank you for speaking of Pastor Sandy and using him, Lord, to pronounce your word and speak your word. We give you the praise, glory, and honor. Lord, pierce our hearts so that we can be able to receive your word and allow it to be able to plant your seeds. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
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 All right. Thank you, Greg. Okay.
Pastor.
What's that?
Oh, no. Pastor.
Okay.
It died?
It died.
I'm going to try to teach something tonight. And I really just want to show you this because the Lord is like, the Word of God is true. What are some of the things that fascinate you about the Bible? I think what fascinates me about the Bible is that 1948 was already chosen before 1948 got here. That kind of made me feel like, how, you know, like, how could you possibly situate the Bible where the 19th book of the Bible and the 48th chapter of the Bible talks about what's going to happen in 1948? And how could Eve have a numerical value of 19 and then God put 48 constellations in the sky to show how he's going to deal with sin and bring salvation?
Yes.
You know, so 1948 was something that was already in the mind of God before the creation, because on the fourth day of creation is when he put the stars in the sky. So that means that God knew about 1948, I'm sure before, but at least by the fourth day of creation is when he put it in the sky and said, there'll be 48 constellations and this will deal with what was done by 19, which was Eve. And then he makes, and people keep calling me on this, they say, well, we're in the 5782 year in Israel, so that means that we won't be at the 6,000 year for so many years, right? Mm-hmm. What they don't understand is Israel never counted the years when they were in disobedience, okay? Israel only counts the years when they're in obedience. So there were a lot of years that were not even counted that that Israel refused to put. But so Israel has a calendar where they're on the 5782 year or 5781 year, and we have a calendar that says we're on the 2021 year. My mic's not it's not working?
No, I'm gonna switch it out. You keep talking about it.
Can you hear me at all?
Yeah, okay. It's just echoing. Keep talking.
So
I must keep it.
Okay. You gonna change that?
Yeah, I'm just gonna swap it out.
So okay.
Take that one off.
Alright, I have to change mine too, guys. You think I gotta remember what I'm talking about? What was I talking about?
Right.
I don't
know. I was talking about Israel. Right. Okay. Tell me, can you hear that better?
How's that?
Can you hear better?
They'll let us know.
Okay. All right. Thank you. All right. So, yes, we're talking about this calendar. Okay. So now, understand this. This one, it solidified and made the whole thing completely understanding to me. The year 1948 was what year? 5708. Okay. In the Torah, if you count from Genesis chapter 1 to Deuteronomy 30, verse 5, it's 5,708 verses from Genesis 1 to Deuteronomy chapter 30, verse 5. Okay? Now, what do you think Deuteronomy chapter 30, verse 5 talks about? Considering the fact that it's the 5,708 verse of the Torah, which was also the year 1948. It talks about the rebirth of the nation of Israel. So that means that God knows both calendars. And since God knows both calendars, we're right on time and we're in perfect timing. Do you understand that? Let's read Deuteronomy chapter 30, verse 5. Listen what it says. Because I am seriously waiting on rapture. And I am seriously knowing and understanding that everything has been perfect. So let's get it on, right?
Amen.
So in the chapter 30 of Deuteronomy, verse 5, now it says, he will bring you to the land that belonged to your fathers, and you will take possession of it. He will make you more prosperous and numerous than your fathers. That is the scripture that is the 5,708th verse of the Torah, which is equal to the year 1948. But if you read the 19th book of the Bible, let's go to Psalms chapter 48. See, I want you guys to know we're right on time. Some days I just like, okay, let's go. Here we are in the 19th book in the 48th chapter, and what does it talk about? God is the Lord, the most worthy of praise in the city of our God, his holy mountain. It is beautiful in its loftiness, the joy of the whole earth. Like the utmost heights of Zephon in Mount Zion, the city of the great king. God is in her citadel. He has shown himself to be her fortress. Then it says something that only could have happened in 1948. When kings joined forces and they advanced together, they saw her and were astounded. They fled in terror. Now that's just a part of history. Because all the Arab kings saw this happen. They all got together and they say, let's attack Israel. And it said they fled in terror. So the 19th book, the 48th chapter. Now, not only does that get to me, the other thing that gets to me is Psalms is the 19th book of the Bible going forward, but it's the 48th book going backwards. So that means whoever canonized the book, which it had to have been God's hand in it, would have said, we're going to have 66 books and 19, and there's going to be 48 books backwards to Psalms, and there's going to be 19 books, and the 5,708 verse of the Torah is going to talk about what's going to happen in 1948, because that's the Jewish year, 5,708. So that means God knows both calendars before they even get started. Okay, so it's not a matter of, are we living in the last days? Is this the real time? Are we off? No, there's none of that. You're watching things going on in the world, and everybody should be like crying out to God, let's get out of here and let's get this thing going. Amen. Because one thing's for absolute sure, this world needs cleaning. This world needs a serious cleanup. And I don't mean dirt. I mean, it needs a cleanup from the people that are ruining it and are allowing a lot of things to happen. I have never seen homelessness the way I see homelessness now. I have never seen that in my life. I mean, I grew up in South Central LA, but I have never seen someone living under every freeway pass. Someone living under every freeway pass. There's a young girl that walks by here, just walked by here, and I've seen her before. I know she's homeless. Young white girl, she must be, you know, 23, 24 years old. I don't know where she sleeps. But you have to understand what's going on here. This world has gone nuts. And we're thinking about so many other things. Nobody even mentions that 1,400 people died in Haiti. You know what I mean? I mean, 2 weeks ago, 1,400 people died in an earthquake in Haiti, and we're so busy on other stuff. Do we have to take the shot? Do we not have to? You know, what's going on in Afghanistan? Is Iran making a bomb? What's on fire now? What about the tornadoes in Louisiana? We got so many things going on in the world. We forgot 1,400 people died in Haiti.
Yeah.
And I think Israel, the poet, he did a video just to say we need to be praying for the people in Haiti. It's like we completely forgot about that. So I'm just like, are we on time? Is God off? Are we about to leave? Are we living in the last days? These are questions we shouldn't have to ask ourselves if we've been studying.
Amen.
Okay? Who wrote the Bible? Shouldn't be a question.
Right.
Because God proves by the structure of the book that he wrote it. He proves by situating 1948, he wrote the book. I want to show you one other thing God did. Watch this. And I'm going to try to go through this slow so you get it like I get it, okay? This is strange, okay? Now, this is Elohim, right? In Hebrew. This is Yod Heh Vav Heh. I call it Yahweh. Some people say Yahweh. It doesn't offend me either way, just as long as you don't add new letters.
Right.
Yahuwah. No. just don't do that. Okay, the Yod Heh Vav Heh. In English, we might use the V as a W, so I will take that, but let's not add letters, okay? So Elohim and Yahweh equals out to 112. Are you looking at your paper? Now, Genesis chapter 1. Let's read Genesis chapter 1. What does it say? In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth, right? Or in Hebrew, Bereshit bara Elohim et hashamayim va'et ha'aretz. Okay, now, that verse is the first verse of the Old Testament, okay? What's the first verse of the New Testament? That would be Matthew. But what is the scripture that is equivalent and like the beginning? John 1:1. Because it starts with the same words. In the beginning, right? Okay? Was the word. So both of them are telling you what was going on in the beginning. In the beginning was the word. And the word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Okay, so it's telling you God created the heavens and the earth. It's telling you the Word of God was with God, and the Word of God was God. You get to verse 14, and it says the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and tabernacled, and uses the word, and tabernacled amongst us. So the word is God, and so it's telling you God came down into the earth to live among his people, because it's God who is going to redeem his own people. He's redeeming us to himself. Okay? So you have these two scriptures, and God chooses. You have all these languages in the world. Before there were numbers, there was Hebrew and Greek, before the numbering system. Understand? Hebrew was a language that every letter was a number. God creates two, only two languages that are alphanumeric numbers. I mean, alphanumeric letters. I mean, languages, right? These two languages, God chooses to write his book. And as he's choosing these languages, he's writing in one, and you have to remember everything God says, and I don't know how he does this. Everything he speaks is being calculated as a number. Amen. When he says the rock of their salvation, he says, oh, I better spell it this way, so it's 296, because when I get to Jesus in the New Testament, he'll be the Trinity that's coming to save, and it's 888, and that'll be three times the rock, and then and he's doing it by grace, so let me make sure Greek spells 1480, because it'll be the grace five times, the rock is Christ, so it's Jesus Christ, and then it's all of this stuff God's speaking. He's using numbers, because as he's writing, he has to be able to put his thumbprint on it and say, nobody else could have done this but me.
Amen.
No one else could have predicted 5708 and 1948 on two different calendars before the other calendar was even invented. Amen. But God did it. And so the question of, are we living in the last times? Who wrote the Bible? Is the rapture real? I'm getting to the point, like, I'm not answering those questions. We need to study, and we need to know, and we need to look at history. Yeah. And know that we are in this time. It is the last time. 1948 did happen. Yeah. Exactly the way God said it would happen. Yeah. And then it was God that said what? Let's go to 2 Kings chapter 25. Second Kings 25, verse 8. Okay. Then it says, on the seventh day of the fifth month in the 19th year of Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon. What happened in the 19th year of king of Babylon? He destroyed the temple in Jerusalem. How long was it after 1948 till Israel got Jerusalem back? 19 years. Why? They fell 19 years apart. Oh, and 2,000 years from now, I'm going to make them reappear 19 years apart. So what questions are we asking? Because in 1967, Jerusalem had to be won back to the Jews in 1967, because it was 19 years from 1948, okay? And in 2 Kings 25:8, it says this happened 19 years apart. So who's calculating and doing all of this timing and making sure all the numbers are right, everything is perfect? Who's doing all this? Okay, now, okay, so Elohim and Yahweh together, which would mean like Lord God in the English translation, right? Is 112. Now I have to use this. Okay, now, Genesis chapter 1 is this numerical value. Every letter in Genesis is 2701, which is 73 times 37. You see how it reverses back on itself? You see that? So now, John chapter 1, verse 1 equals 2367. 93 times 39. See how it reverses back on itself? So he did it. He did both of them with the same mathematical structure. Okay. Now, we got to learn something here. Okay. You see these three balls here I wrote up here? See that, Pastor Ben?
Yes.
Okay. With those three, I can make a triangle. So three units makes a triangle. Genesis chapter 1 has 28 letters, which makes a perfect triangle. It's the seventh triangle you can make. Okay? Because this would be the second triangle, then you'd have to add four more, and that would be the third triangle. Then you'd add more under, then that would be the fifth triangle. You understand how you're just moving forward as you're adding units, you're making bigger triangles. Okay? So, three, you have three balls here, or three units there, and that makes a triangle. Now, my pen. Okay, so now, can you make a triangle with four units? Answer the question.
No.
It's impossible, right? So therefore, let's say I put four units here, and I know I can't make a triangle with them because it's impossible. I can make a square, but I can't make a triangle. So let's call this the Old Testament. And let's call this the New Testament. Now, in order for me to make this a triangle, I would have to take the number here and add it to here to make a bigger triangle. Do you see that? So I take these four and I add them over here. One, two, three, four. Now I have a bigger triangle. See there? Now, I have another triangle. But I had to take the number that was set up in the New Testament, add it to the Old Testament, so to make the triangle. This is what God did with these two numbers. So now, Genesis chapter 1:1 is 2701, 73, wisdom and wisdom. This number is a triangle. This is a triangle. You understand? So this is a triangle with this numerical value. John chapter 1:1, 23:67 is not a triangle. You can't make a triangle with that. But if you add this number to that number, then you come out with 6328, and this makes the 112th triangle, which is what? Elohim, Yahweh, Elohim. You understand? So it shows that God numerically made sure that this Old Testament scripture and this New Testament scripture, this one has a triangle, but this one doesn't. But if I connect them, it makes a triangle. You understand? So God has proven through all types of math who's writing the book. Okay? God is writing the book. And he's trying to let us know who's in charge, okay? Because you don't see anything happening, doesn't mean God is not in control and God is not in charge.
Right.
If you already have a history and you already have a knowledge of God and you already know what he can do, you don't have all of these questions. You begin to operate in faith.
Yes.
You begin to operate on the fact that I know what he's done before and I know he'll do it again. Okay? And so what God is trying to do is this. For everybody that's panicking about the days and times we're living in, okay? Have we forgotten what God did in 1948? Have we forgot what God did in 1967? Okay? Have we forgot what God did in 2017? So it's like we forget about history and we forget who's in charge because no one else who has the power to do what God did. I'm going to bring back a nation full of people who have been dispersed out of the world for 2,000 years with no home, 2,520 years. And I'm telling you, when they went into dispersion, when they went out of the land, God had already told you in 2,520 years, they're going to be back in the land. And it's going to be in 1948, and it's going to be on this date. He already measured out the exact date and time that they would be back in the land. He measured it out, 2,520 years, they'll be back in the land. So from the time of Babylon began to the time they came back, it was 2,520 years. And God is like, have you forgotten that I've done that, that I did that? Because see, the rapture is something that may be a surprise to some people, but it's not going to be a surprise to me, because I don't deal with the Bible on the fact that it's a religion. And I don't deal with the Bible on the fact that I'm hoping that he actually will do something. I'm dealing with the Bible on the fact that he's done it in the past, he's consistent, his intelligence is beyond man, and he's going to do it again. So your confidence has to rise about who God is. Okay. I want us to, at the bottom of the page, you see where it says Wednesday, September 22nd, 2021 is the last day of summer. That's when the fall equinox, right, will hit. So September 22nd, summer will be over. If the rapture is going to happen in the summertime, which is the harvest time for wheat, it has to happen in the summer. I don't hope that there's going to be a rapture this year, and I'll tell you why. Not yet, but I'm going to tell you why. I'm not hoping that there's going to be a rapture this year. I'm expecting a rapture this year.
Yes.
I'm expecting it really 7 days after this whole thing happened in Israel. I'm expecting it, and I mean, we're on the eighth day. So, and I was really expecting 7 days plus one, which is the eighth day. So if I'm not here tomorrow, don't think I'm going to be surprised. I'm gonna be like, I was expecting that. And so we have to understand who we're dealing with. I'm expecting that if we're not gone, that in this summertime we'll be gone. So before the end of summer. Now, as we move further, we're moving further to 2028, and we're losing days. Because the tribulation is 2,520 years, and the Bible says so. And the Bible hasn't been wrong about dates, because Israel went into Babylon exactly 2,520 years later. They went back into their land. So it was, is God who is counting dates and times. So I know the tribulation is going to last 7 years. I know it's 2021. I know the dates are running out. I know the 70-year prophecy that everybody was looking for passed. I know the 80-year prophecy. I know what we're looking at. And I'm trying to explain to all the numbers are right. Everything's correct. I'm not worried about the numbers or being correct or being in time. I'm like sitting back expecting, when is this going to happen? Because that is something we don't have control of. But it's like sitting in it's like sitting in Germany in 1942 trying to assassinate Hitler and free the people from the concentration camps. And then 1943 you try to kill Hitler again so you can free the people from the concentration camps. And then 1944, you say, well, this time we're really getting, we got a good plan. None of your plans work, but in 1945, all the nations merge onto to Germany and free the people from the concentration camps. But it's only because Psalms 45 said that's the year that they're going to be freed. So if God is not in charge, then we're in a mess. If God's not in charge, we be afraid, be very afraid. Okay? But if God is in charge, and I said, that's an old video. Saw that video in 2011 or 2012, right? When Obama was in office. Somebody reemerged a video, showed these guys, and he said, oh, these are the Christians, and they're shooting these Christians like this. And I'm like, but that was an old video trying to push into Christians that God could forget about you and you could end up suffering. God is not forgetting about you. Satan will not overcome the church. Where is your confidence? My confidence is in the God that has already structured history, and he knows that we're right at the last day before the end. Okay. I'm going to read something here, and it includes a couple of scriptures, so I'll let you know when I get there. Listen to this. The name Joseph in Hebrew means God will add. This name will play out in two ways in scripture. First, God added to Rachel another son, Benjamin. But the great prophecy of his name is that God will use Joseph to multiply the nation of the Hebrews. He is the root of give and it shall be given. By giving Joseph to Egypt to save many people, God will multiply the Hebrews. So is the story of Joseph about Joseph? No, the story of Joseph is about Jesus. So God had to give what? To the earth, which he calls a type of Egypt, right? God had to give his son to the earth in order to multiply sons in heaven. Because if you accept Christ, what do you become? The sons of God, the Benahai Elohim. So God is used Christ to multiply sons. He used Joseph, which his name means God will add, to multiply the Hebrews. So God is adding to his number of born again people living with the Spirit of God. You're going to be just like your dad. When you get to heaven, the Holy Spirit is like, I'm going back to God. You got your own. You're born of his Spirit now, right? Doesn't mean you're a God. Somebody told you we're gods. No, you're not. You are not a God. You are a son of God. You've been born of God because you've been born again. You are not a God.
Right.
So, understand this. This is what God did. Now, let me finish reading. Now, God did this, and I'm trying to tell you as Joseph is the story, because Rachel, his mother, means lamb. Benjamin means son of the right hand. The lamb died giving birth. Rachel is a lamb, right? Did she die giving birth to Joseph? Yes. Or Benjamin. She died giving birth to Benjamin, right? So, in order to multiply children, the lamb has to do what? Has to die. So all of this, Rachel dies to give birth to Benjamin, son of my right hand. Her name, Rachel, means lamb. The lamb comes, he dies to do what? To give birth to many. But he dies in the process. Jesus became the son of the right hand, but only after dying as the lamb. The lamb had to die before we could become the sons of his right hand. So Jesus died giving birth to his children. So God has given birth to all these children, which are his personally born again children, which he died for. And you think God forgot. Because what he promised hasn't happened yet doesn't mean it's not going to happen. I fully expect because it's 8 days after the whole incident started, I fully expect not to be here. But if I am, I fully expect not to be here by the end of summer.
Right?
I fully expect to be gone by the 21st year. Why? Because I'm using God's Bible to determine where I'm at in time.
Yes.
I'm not looking around trying to figure out what's going, it's got to be the end of days because they're doing this or they're doing that. No, the schedule tells me it's the end of time.
Amen.
Now listen to this last one. It says in this story concerning Joseph, it says the story begins in Genesis 37:2. And it says this, these are the generation of Jacob, Joseph being born, being 17 years old, was feeding the flock. So the scripture is letting you know that Joseph was 17 years old when God gave him the commandment, not God, his dad told him, I need you to go down to the Negev and find your brothers and find out what they're doing down there. Okay? So look, it says here, these are the generations of Jacob. Joseph, being 17, was feeding the flock with his brethren, and the lad was with the son of Bilhah and with the sons of Zilpah, the father's wife. Joseph brought unto his father an evil report concerning who? His brothers. When did he go out to do that? When he was 17. So that means his ministry began at 17. Now, when God gave me the 6,000 year count, Jesus is born 3,983 years. That's 17 short of 4,000. Do you understand that? So Jesus is born 17 years before the 4,000th year of mankind, which means that when 4,000 came, Jesus was 17. So that means 6,000 years will be what? 2017. You understand?
Yeah.
So 2017 becomes the 6,000th year. This is why we get to the book of Revelation, and God is like, I had you count 6,000 years, so you can see that 6,000 years does not end in 2018, because that's what I was telling them in the prison. God said, you're wrong. So he leads me through a count. After so many years and trying to give the count to other people to see if it's correct, God shows me this one in the office. Revelation chapter 20. It says, I saw an angel come down out of heaven, having the key to the abyss and holding in his hand a great chain. He seized the dragon, the ancient serpent, who is the devil or Satan, and bound him for 1,000 years. He threw him into the abyss and locked it, sealed it over him to keep him from deceiving the nations anymore until the 1,000 years were ended. After that, he must be set free for a short time. My question was, why'd you lock him up for only 1,000? Because a day unto the Lord is as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is as a day. And so when it comes time for me to take my Sabbath, I'm going to lock Satan up, and I won't release him and finish whipping him up until after his 1,000 years is done. So I'm seeing now that as I continue reading in chapter 20, verse 1 through 7, the word 1,000 is mentioned 6 times. So God said, erase the dots, 2017, 6,000. I already gave you the count, and it landed in 2017. Now I'm showing you there's 6,000 in chapter 20, verse 17, because I wrote the book. So in 2017, everyone was looking, September 23rd, September 23rd. And I was all with everyone. Why? Because I knew that that was the 6,000th year. No one else I knew? That was the 120th Jubilee. I said, sometime this year, somebody's going to declare that Jerusalem belongs to the Jews, because in a Jubilee year, all land has to be returned to the rightful owner. And so it did it in 1967, and it did it back in 1917. And then this guy, Rabbi Judah, made the first prophecy in 2017. And he said there would not be any Jubilees until 1970. And he counted them, and then he said, so he let you know that all of these Jubilees were going to happen, and then, but he made the prophecy in 2017. And he's telling them how every Jubilee is going to land out. Then in 2017, Trump makes the last declaration that Jerusalem belongs to the Jews. Why? Because the scripture said he had to. And so I'm trying to tell you, God didn't come down and say, hey, you know, I wrote the book and I needed to be correct. So, Donald, I need you to, like, you know, your hair is in your eye again. Hold on. Look, I need you to do this for me. God didn't do that, right? He just place upon the impression of man what he wants to do, and we do it. Me and Pastor Ben thought we were going to do something else. We ended up being pastors.
Amen. Hello.
We didn't meet to be a Christian film company, which is what we thought.
That's true.
God said, shh, don't tell them. They're going to be pastors. So I'm just letting you know, God is in control. He's in charge. He knows what time it is. He knows what day it is. Everything is being structured according to what God is doing.
Yeah.
Now, I need us to go to Psalms chapter 20 and 21. Now, so I mean 120, Psalms 120 and 121. Somebody told me the last two verses of the book of Revelation is 20 and 21. I said, well, let me look at that. It says, behold, I come quickly. But I haven't looked at it yet, so I'm not going to. I can show you guys so many incredible things about the Bible that makes me wake up every morning going, I'm expecting you. You guys think I'm excited just because I'm an excited person? No. When you prove yourself to me, I get excited.
Amen.
Now, since every psalm was counting the year and what's going to happen in that year, and I remember when the Desert Storm, that when they were shooting the Scud missiles over in, I think it was 1990, and then someone brought up, it said that even though your enemies attack you, that God would protect you and nothing would touch you. And he said, so Psalms 90 just came true today. And I thought, they are stretching it. Then something else happened. 2004, it said there was a scripture in Psalms 104 that said the waters will overflow and that there was going to be something that was going to happen that year. And I thought, oh, it's nothing's going to happen this year. It's in verse 26. Okay, in Psalms 204, it talks about the waters flowing over. And I said, well, it doesn't look like that prophecy. J.R. Church is wrong this time. Doesn't look like that prophecy is going to come true this year. Then they had the tsunami. What country was that? They had the, huh? It was
Indonesia.
Yeah, Indonesia. They had the tsunami. And guess what date they had it on? The 26th, the same number that the scripture in Psalms is on. And J.R. Church says, see, I told you. I was like, J.R. Church is on one, man. This guy has really got this book of Psalms together. Then he started going through 1948 and what happened in 1947 and what happened in 1970 and showing people everything has been written about the 1900s. Now we get to 2020 and it's Psalms 120. And the first thing that the scripture says, first thing we know about Psalms 120 is this. It's the 120th year. And as it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be at the coming of the Son of Man. So that means a judgment worldwide has to come in the 120th year. In the 120th year, we had a worldwide judgment. The whole place shut down. Businesses, people lost jobs. It was absolutely crazy, right? It's still going on today, right? So all of this stuff happened in 2020. And so now you got, we're in this worldwide flood and all of this stuff is going on. Then a good friend of mine said, hey, I have a problem. He says, the Psalms of Ascent all say, Hama'alut, the Psalm of the Ascent. He said, but there's one that has an infinitive verb that says it's moving. It's an action verb. It says Lema'alot, which is an infinitive verb. So now it's saying this is the time where the action happens. And it's only in one of the Psalms, even though there's 15 Psalms that say ascent, only one of them uses an infinitive verb, says Lema'alot. And it's Psalms 121. And I'm like, okay, there's another hint, right? So as we're watching all of these things happen, and we're in the 7 years before the end of what should be the tribulation, we're going through everything that the rest of Christianity has gone through. Okay, and that is, you're going to come to a place where you have to trust God. Or you're going to panic. And you is going panic makes you act outside of the will of God. Panic makes you do what you think is good for you in the situation. That's what panic does. Well, what am I going to do? I have to do what I got to do.
Right.
You could have prayed. You could have waited on God. Well, it didn't seem like God wasn't moving fast enough, so I had to do what I had to do. And God is like, I got you. And you're praying, and you're like, Lord, I need you in this time. God's like, I got you. But situations don't allow you to act with confidence because fear is designed for a purpose because fear and love cannot coexist. And since God is love, when you build up all this fear, God can't be in that presence. God can't operate in that presence because that presence has no faith. And without faith, you can't please God. So you're operating off of fear, and therefore now you can't trust God. And the only reason you can't trust God is because you've forgotten all the things he's done. Or you haven't studied your word, or you haven't looked at your history. Don't you know in 1967, we had a guy come in here, PQ was here that night. Guy came in here, and stage was on this side. He fought in the 67 war. He was telling us about some of the miracles that happened in 1967. And he said, first of all, we knew that we were goners because of how they attacked and when they attacked. And everyone was talking about this was going to be Israel's last year. Everyone was talking about that. And he said, we saw so many miracles. We saw their ships. We saw their bombs falling out of the air. I saw angels. He was telling us all these things that he saw. I gave him a copy of Dan Matheson's book. He got back in contact with me and said, who wrote this book? Because in the book, now he was finding out that God counted from Babylon to 1948. And he was like, wow. And God counted from Babylon to 1967. And so he was like really amazed that God had been orchestrating all of Israel's history. And so he began to understand that. Now he had already become a Christian. That's why he was here. He's like, I've come to the understanding that that guy that died in Israel, that's what he said. He said, that guy that died in Israel, Jesus, is really the Messiah. And I said, wow, that's an amazing thing. So he stayed here for the whole Bible study, and I taught on Israel all that night. But he understood the God that he had read about was now real because he was reading how he controlled history. Okay? Now he was reading how he controlled history. So we have had the privilege of 1948, 1967, and 2017, which was a Jubilee year. We've had the privilege of that. We've watched this whole thing happen. We watched the 120th Jubilee happen, and we also watched the 120th year come and judgment fall, because judgment fell on Moses when he was 120, and judgment fell on the earth when it was 120, and judgment fell on Israel after three kings who served 40, 40, and 40 years, and judgment came. And so we knew that judgment was coming in the 120th year, and it did come. Why? Because the Bible said so. It was coming. Now that it came and it's here and you're still on the boat and you know that the boat ride doesn't last forever, you know it sometimes, we got to go. So who is your confidence in? But this is man. Get to the Red Sea. We panic, we scream, we're gonna all die, here they come. They're running up behind you. Then all of a sudden Moses hits the water, it splits. Not only does it split, you don't even need any boots. The ground is dry as you walk by. You walk through on the other side, and everybody's safe, and you watch the water fall back on the Egyptians, and they all die. 2 days later, you realize we're running out of water. And what do you say? If our God can do that, surely he can give us some water. Is that what they said? You brought us out of here to die of thirst. You should have left us in Egypt. What kind of God is this? God knows the heart of man. But he's expecting more out of us because we have the Holy Spirit living in us. To say everything that... Look, I've been leading this thing, and I don't care what anybody says. Pastor Sandy has been like, I'm following the patterns. And I'm following the patterns because I know the end of my ministry is a roller coaster ride up. So I'm following the patterns because I want to make sure my message, I wish people would stop saying, oh, you speak about the rapture. No, this is what I speak about. Be ready. That's what I speak about. Mm-hmm. People don't really understand. When God called me to do this, he said, you're speaking to my people. Your message is to my people because my people aren't ready. Why aren't your people ready? Because they're lukewarm. Because they're Sunday Christians. Because they're halfway in the world and halfway not in the world. Because they think they can sin because they got saved when they were 14 and they think that's going to carry them into heaven no matter what they do. So he's like, my people are not ready. I'm watching TV and there it is, T.D. Jakes. And I like, because God called me and I was like, wow, am I going to be like that? He says, you will not be like that. Amen. He said, all of them are worshiping the guy that's standing before them, they're worshiping. He says, most of those people in that audience, I don't know. This was when we first started. Lord said, I don't even know most of those people because God is trying to impress upon me, stop looking at what you see on TBN. All of those people aren't Christians.
Right.
all of those people preaching aren't being called by me. I'm sending you to do something. What? To tell my people to get ready, to open their eyes, to look, so that you don't say, oh, Eddie Long's the greatest preacher of all time. And you're not looking at what he does versus what he says. You understand? So we can start seeing what's going on. So we're not watching people dancing on top of money as people go up and throw money, because that used to be acceptable Christianity. But now, since these times have come, we're like, people are pulling away from this. And 2020 was great because nobody could go to church. And so you had no place to be fake. You had no shows going on. That little rapper dude had to cancel his tour. Kanye.
Yeah.
He had to cancel his tour. They were planning a big Satan Fest in New York, and they had to cancel it. And I'm like, God said, watch what I do. I was like, praise God. Because that was going to be a mess. But I'm trying to get us to look at everything that's happened. The greatest thing that happened for me was when Trump announced that Jerusalem belongs to the Jews. I was thoroughly shocked. I knew it was going to happen that year. I didn't think he'd be the guy to do it. To most people, this, since you didn't understand 1917 and 1967, you didn't understand the significance of 2017. But I did, because I'd been studying it since 2004. I'm waiting on somebody to declare. I thought Jesus was coming and declaring it. I didn't know how it was going to be done, but I knew it had to be done that year. So I'm watching God control men, okay? And I'm watching this whole trouble happen. And I'm watching the people of God begin to panic. And if we begin to panic and start complaining and saying, why did you let us stay here this long? Well, you brought us out here to starve. You're going to let us, you know, no, you can't do that. You've got to be able to do like this. You got to be able to stand firm. When all you've done to do is stand, what do? Stand firm and say what? My God is able.
Yeah.
Praise God.
Amen. What time are we having the...
We're going to be here early at 9 o'clock tomorrow morning.
Just for tomorrow.
Just for tomorrow, because I have a funeral to do at 11. Jay Sean's funeral is tomorrow at 11. So I'm going to come here. We'll do our class.
2 hours early, guys.
And... If you can't make it, we will post it. So it's really 2 hours early for me and Pastor Ben. So it'll be tomorrow. But I'm going to be doing Jay Sean. He's a guy that I was mentoring and training in boxing, and then he ended up dying from a bad incident. Yeah. So I'm going to do that tomorrow. All right. So praise God. I'll see you guys very early in the morning, because we got a lot to talk about.
Thank you.